Praise the Lord. Come on, can we give God a hand praise this morning? How many know that there is nobody like him? Amen? Nobody greater than him. Nobody like our God. We praise God that we've searched. I know we all can say that we have tried other things. Anybody have any witnesses here today to try to find satisfaction in other things? How many know that after you come to Christ sometimes, we still start searching for other stuff? But I've come to find that there's none like our God. Amen? No one can do me like he can. I thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for his power, for his forgiveness and his patience. Aren't you glad that we serve a long-suffering God, a patient God? Amen. For all of our guests, whether here or at home, I'm Pastor Dwayne. We want to welcome you to Encounter Life this morning. We're just glad that you chose to worship with us. If you are not a guest, can we give our guests a round of applause? Praise God for you. We pray that your heart is encouraged, that this week, if you were with us, that you put into practice God being in control. How many let him be in control this week? Amen. I know sometimes I shift in and out, trying to control it, but I praise God that I can fall back and lean back and be at peace because we serve a God who is in control. If this is your first time joining us, I think we can put up on the screen a way that we can connect with you. We have a digital connect card. You can also text the word NEW to 301-804-2520. If you're watching online, take your phone out, scan that QR code, and you can fill out the connect card if you're in here. We'll leave it up on the screen for a moment for you to scan the connect card as well. Amen? How many of y'all, I know, I see one person who's excited. I was going to do what he did this morning. My brother-in-law, he's a misguided soul, my brother Sid. Y'all pray for Sid. Sid has a Dallas Cowboy jersey on this morning. Amen. Y'all pray for him. Hopefully, maybe today we might have a deliverance service where we can come cast that out of him. Amen. I don't know. This kind only come out by prayer and fasting, the word said. Well, y'all know I'm a fan of the burgundy and gold, and today is, for many of you all are excited. That might be why, you know, sometimes on Sunday morning, on the first game of the season, you know, people are at the game and getting ready, and they're tailgating, and they're getting ready for football. I don't know any football fans. If you're a football fan, come in here by a round of applause. Amen. You're a Detroit Lions fan? Amen. Amen. We praise God. Listen, football is an amazing sport. I love it. I know some of y'all who know me since I was younger know when on Sunday, man, when service over, I'm ready to get to the game, right? Watch the game. And then when, this is before the time when we had phones, before the time when we had your cell phone, when I was younger, when you're a teenager, I used to have this little black and white TV that I would put in my bag. And after service, I pull my little TV out so it goes so I could watch the game. So I didn't miss any of the game before I got home after church. And now we all have cell phones and everything. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen today. I'm not going to hold you too long, but game starts at 1 o'clock. But right around 1 o'clock, people will get in their car, and they're going to check on their phone, and they're going to check the score. If they can't watch it, they're going to check the score until they get home to see, you know, what the score, watching the scoreboard, just to see what their team is doing. And now we are in the days of fantasy football. Anybody play fantasy football in here? Some of y'all here, some of you at home play fantasy football. Fantasy football allows people who maybe not even have a real team. You just follow players, and you put a team together with different players, and you're just watching what they do. You're watching the score and keep a score to just see who's going to win and if your team wins. And I thought it was fitting, before I made the connection between the first day of the football season and our series, but I thought about this series, and the series is called Keeping Score. Keeping Score. What we are going to do today, and what all of these games will happen, there's going to be somebody who's going to keep the score and watch who's scoring the most points to determine who wins. But as I thought about it, sometimes in life, all of us in our relationships, we have a tendency to keep score. We have a tendency to see, you know, we are in relationships with people, and we have a tendency to kind of keep score of the good that we do. Sometimes we keep score of the bad that other people do to us. We keep score of our failures sometimes. We keep a record of where we've dropped the ball. And today, in football, unlike football, when you keep score, you're keeping score to see who wins, how you win. But I'm here to tell you, our subtitle today, keep a score, what we lose when we keep count. What we lose when we keep count. There are some things in our lives that God does not really want you to keep score of. And we're going to go over the next several weeks, this week and the 3 weeks after that, on talking about things that God is telling us. Look, this idea of keeping score, keeping count, look, you got to put that aside. Put that aside, because it ain't about you. It's not about who wins or loses. It's not about keeping score. It's about grace, mercy, and love. And sometimes we lose when we try to keep score. If you're married here, you know what I'm talking about. If you've been in any kind of relationship, you know what I'm talking about. I know I've been married, praise God, for 20 years. You can applaud for that. I've been married for 20 years. And then sometimes my wife may say or do something that offends me. Sometimes I do things that offend her. And in my mind, a lot of times I'm thinking like, okay, I did this right. Especially if she brings up something that I fell short in. And my mind is, hold on, how are you coming at me when I did this, that, and the other thing? I'm keeping score. She does something against me, but in my mind, I'm keeping all of the record of the things that she did wrong, and I didn't say nothing about it. Now I'm getting ready to pull out my scorebook. And I don't know about you, that never seems to bring about any kind of resolution. It never brings about resolution. Sometimes, you know what, when we come to God, when our relationship with Him, when we do good things, when we do good service activities, or we are involved in ministry, do you know sometimes we have a tendency to keep score and think, maybe I'm more right with God today because of what I did yesterday? And when you come to approach God with that score-keeping mindset, listen, it'll throw you all the way off. God wants us to get to the point where we ain't keeping score. We were just doing what He's called us to do. Because about this walk with Christ is all about what? Sacrifice. It's all about the other person. It's not about me. And so today we're going to start our series on keeping score. Amen? Can y'all pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for this opportunity, Lord God, to come and study Your word and to understand the importance, God, of forgiveness, to understand the importance of grace, to understand the importance of mercy, to understand of to not living according to merit. Lord God, to understand that when we keep score, we lose. Help us to deal and relate with others how You related to us. We thank You. Challenge us today. God, not more information. As we take notes, let it be things that we want to put into practice, not just more information in our head. Not more information, but transformation, God. Change us. Challenge us, we pray. We pray for anybody this morning, God, who is dealing with illness and sickness. We ask for healing for them this morning, God. We pray for those who are unable to be with us today. We ask, Lord God, that You'll strengthen them. And those who are at home, online, we pray that the very presence of God will enter their room. They'll have an encounter with You right where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we start today, I want to ask also to remind us to keep in prayer those who are sick and shut in. The other day, Tracy and I, Friday, had an opportunity to go see Sister Judy Davis there at Howard County General Hospital. And we asked that you pray for her. Brian called me yesterday and said she took a little turn for the worse. So please pray for Sister Davis. And also, Brother Greg Bird, he has been new to the fellowship. He texted me this morning that he had to rush his mom to the emergency room last night. He and his wife Tasha have been fellowshipping with us for quite a while, and he's not here with us because his mom had to be rushed to the hospital. So we continue to lift up those who are sick and shut in. Amen? This morning, we're talking about what? Keeping score. And the first area we're going to talk about in keeping score that we got to learn, the first topic we're going to talk about this morning is forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not easy. You know, several years ago in the fifth season of American Idol, there was a singer there, and some of you all know who she is. She's become quite famous as a gospel singer. Her name is Mandisa. Anybody familiar with Mandisa? Mandisa was a contestant on American Idol, and during her audition, y'all know, if you all have ever watched American Idol back in the day, Simon Cowell could be quite rude. And Mandisa, she's a gospel singer, but she was a full-figured sister. And Simon Cowell had the nerve, when she came for her audition, when she walked out, he said, "Do we have a bigger stage this year?" They caught him on camera on the outtake saying that we had a bigger stage this year. And then Paula Abdul said, "Come on." He said, she said, "She's kind of like Frenchie." And he said, "More like France." He made a comment about her weight that cut her to her heart. And when she heard it, she said that I cried. And it caused me a lot of pain. And that was at her first audition. But this girl went and she continued to progress. And she became one of the 12 finalists. And right before they got to those final rounds, she had to go into the room with Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul and Randy Jackson. And right there, right in front of all of them in that chair, in that room, before they said anything to her to let her know she had made it to the finals, this is what she looked at Simon and said. She said, "Simon, a lot of people want me to say a lot of things to you, but this is what I want to say. Yes, you hurt me, and I cried. And it was painful, but I want you to know that I've forgiven you and that you don't need someone to apologize to forgive somebody. And I figure that if Jesus could die so that all of my wrongs can be forgiven, I can certainly extend the same grace to you." What a testimony. Speaking to somebody that probably is a non-believer. And that's what the witness, she said, you hurt me, but I'm going to extend to you what my Savior extended to me, grace. And though you have never called to apologize to me, I can forgive you. And what God is calling us to do today is to extend forgiveness. I want to ask you to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 18, and it's a parable of the unforgiving debtor. And when we look at this parable, sometimes we can see ourselves so deeply in this. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 through 35, it reads, "Then Peter came to him and asked, 'Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, but 70 times 7. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold, along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, 'Please be patient with me, and I will pay it all.' Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by the throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. 'Be patient with me and I will pay it,' he pleaded, but his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, 'You evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you?' Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Forgiveness. It's time to let it go. In this passage right here, I love it. Peter says to God, he said to Jesus, he said, how much should I forgive? He says 7 times. Should I forgive 7 times? Why that is significant is because the law, the rabbis at that time said that the amount of forgiveness you should extend to somebody would be 3 times. according to Jewish law. Should be three times. But what happened? So Peter says, I'm going to come into Jesus thinking I'm doing something. I know what the rabbi is going to say. Look, I should give him three times. And he said, Jesus, I want to show that I want to be really forgiving and really gracious. Should I forgive seven times? And Jesus said, no, I want you to do 70 times seven. See, seven is that number of completion, of perfection. Jesus said, even more than that, 70 times that. Meaning, look, he's essentially saying, he's not really putting a number on the forgiveness. It's all relative. He's saying, look, there should be no limit on the amount of times that you forgive. There should be no limit on the amount of times that you forgive. And Peter, and he gives this parable of this man who owed his master, and the master said, I'm going to show you mercy. He said he owed the master what was equivalent to millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. And his friend owed him a few thousand, and he couldn't forgive him. How many times have we been just like that? How many times has somebody offended us and done something to us, and we can say, look, somebody has forgiven us. Who has forgiven us? God has forgiven us. He's forgiven us more than we can even imagine. And then I got a friend, I got a wife, I got a child, I got somebody in my life that I can't forgive this one offense. And the God of the universe has forgiven me of all of my sins. This morning, God is calling us to forgive, and I'm going to give us the acronym is forgive. Look at your neighbor and say, forgive. Forgive. I don't care what it is. God is calling you to forgive. Just like Mandisa said, if Jesus can forgive me of all of my mess, I can surely forgive you. Forgive. In order for us to forgive, the first letter in forgive, F, it stands for facts, faith, then feelings. Facts, faith, then feelings. What do I mean? In order for you to forgive, you gotta listen, you gotta put your faith in the facts and put your feelings behind you. Forgiveness is not about how you feel. And Mandisa went on how she felt. She said, look, I was hurt. He hurt me. I cried. If I go on my feelings, you're not gonna get forgiveness. That's some of our problem, is that we are ruled and we are, our feelings reign over us. We do it just exactly how we feel. I've heard people say, listen, I just can't be fake. I'm going to just be real. No, it's not about being real. Does not mean you always go with how your feelings are. Sometimes I've heard people say, I can't be fake around them. I don't want to be around them. I'm not going to act like I like them. I'm not going to act like I want to be around them. And you carry that anger with you, because why? I cannot be fake. It's not about being fake. It's about the facts that God is calling me to forgive and put my faith in what God has said. It has nothing to do with how I feel. How many know that God, when he's asking us to forgive, it's not dependent upon our feelings? If I'm going to forgive somebody, it goes with the facts. And the facts are what God's word says. He calls us to do what? Forgive. To forgive. Why? Because we have been forgiven much. So he's calling us to forgive others. Has nothing to do with how you feel. That's hard to say. Especially if you've been in relationships. I know I can speak in the context of marriage. I can speak in the context of just in human relationships. People have said, how many have heard people say something about you that just hurts you to your heart? Done things to you that just crush you. And when you see them, your blood, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. And I'm going to tell you exactly how I feel. Let me ask you, whenever you've gone and told them exactly how you feel, how many times does that make the situation better? In your experience, when you just go off on how you feel, how many times does that make it better? Not many times. There have been times when I've heard people say stuff about, or people have done stuff that made me mad, and the first thing I'm doing, I'm picking up the phone, and as soon as I act and how I feel, that's the thing, you got to pause. You need to take a Selah, a sanctified pause. Text messages. Anybody ever look? Anybody begin to text somebody something? As you read, it's like, Lord, I better not send that. See, because you're going on how you feel. Our feelings will fail us every time. Usually what God has called me to do is diametrically opposed to how I'm naturally feeling. Why? Because he saved me, but I'm still in this body of what? Flesh. So it's still going to hurt. And I'm still in this flesh. And what happens, we begin to act in this flesh and respond. And what it does is digs us in a deeper hole. If you're going to forgive, what's the first thing you got to do? Understand you got to walk by faith and not by your feelings. Walk by faith and not by your feelings. So many times, I know my wife is in the back, so I can say this safely without her seeing it. Amen. There've been so many times I leave home, I'm angry. I'm like, look, I'm not giving in this time. I have given in too many times. I'm not giving in this time. I'm right. She was wrong, and I'm not gonna give in. I'm gonna stay angry, and she gonna feel it. She gonna feel it. And you know what that does? That has not, never has it made our relationship better. But what God has a tendency to do, that's why it's so good to listen, being when you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit's work in your life. When I'm in my flesh, God has a tendency to sometimes speak to me, say, Dwayne, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. Don't walk by faith. Understand, look, it's not about being right. It's not about being fair. It's not about her seeing it. Sometimes we want people to see where they were wrong. Anybody ever thought, look, they were wrong. I want to make you see where you're wrong and get you apart. God said, no, that's not your job. That's the Holy Ghost's job. That's why Mandisa said, what I've come to understand is you don't have to apologize for me to forgive you. See, when that person had to see, ooh, I messed up, and now I come and say, okay, no, I forgive. No, you can't. Don't even wait on it. It's not dependent upon whether you see it or understand it or not, because the forgiveness is not for you. It's for me. It's for me. What you got to do is walk by what? Faith and not by feelings. Facts. What are the facts? God's word. God tells me. Look, he commands me to forgive. Put my faith in what he says, and then my feelings come along later. Y'all have heard me say it all the time. I grew up in Campus Crusade for Christ at Howard University. And we used to use the four spiritual laws, and we used to have this book on the Holy Spirit, on being filled with the Holy Spirit. And one of the things in that four spiritual law book, there was always this little train. And the train had three cars, and the engine was the facts. And the car in the middle was faith, and the caboose was your feelings. And the idea in that little slide where we, that little gospel track that we were using, was to tell people, look, the facts are, sharing the gospel, the facts are the gospel. You put your faith in the gospel, and how you feel pulls in later. And the same thing is true with us. Let the facts of God's word be the engine that pulls us, not how we feel. We gotta, and that goes back to, listen, Brother Derek asked me this morning, are we continuing last week's sermon? Last week, if y'all were here, we talked about God is in control. You know what? That's what it is. God is in control, so I got to put my faith in that. My faith is that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. God, my faith is, look, sometimes we want vengeance so much. What we should not want is vengeance. We should want somebody to get repentance. But ask, I said, God, you're in control. I'm not even going to worry about that. I'm going to allow my feelings to be pulled along as I put my faith in the facts of your word that you command me to forgive. Facts, faith, feelings. If you're going to forgive, why is it necessary to forgive? O says that it'll allow you to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness in your life. Do you know unforgiveness can affect you? Look, the Bible in Psalm chapter 32, verse 3, David said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Do you understand that when you don't forgive, that's sin? Unforgiveness is sin. The God of the universe has forgiven me of everything wrong that I have done, and then I got a brother who does something wrong to me, and I don't forgive him. That means I am in sin. I'm out of fellowship. God's command me to sin. So if I got a spouse that I won't forgive, a parent I won't forgive, a child I won't forgive, a coworker, neighbor that I won't forgive, I'm in sin. And if you stand in sin, listen, it has negative effects. Unforgiveness can mess you up. What did David say? Look, David said it had physiological, my sin had physiological effects. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Johns Hopkins did a study and said, listen, look at this. Studies have found that the act of forgiveness can reap huge rewards, which means unforgiveness can have negative and deleterious effects. Forgiveness can be have huge rewards for your health. Number one, lower the risk of heart attack. Two, improving your cholesterol levels and sleep. Three, reducing pain, reducing blood pressure, reducing levels of anxiety, reducing depression and stress. And research points to an increase in the forgiveness health connection as you age. That's Johns Hopkins. These are the medical people say, look, your blood pressure will get better when you forgive people. Your cholesterol improves. Give. You sleep better when you forgive. Some of y'all wonder why I got insomnia. Why can I only get 5 hours of sleep? Maybe you got some stuff in your life that you have not let go. See, you can overcome the oppressive effect. Unforgiveness will keep you stuck. It'll keep you stuck in your life. It can have negative health effects. There are people, right? I don't know if this was the other day, one of my basketball players, his father said, listen, he's coming to practice. He wasn't supposed to come to school practice, to our practice because it's school practice. And that day, the day before, he found out that his basketball coach, who I had just seen recently at a game, standing there looking at this man on the bench, he's about my age, he was playing basketball, died. Just died. Now, I don't know what had happened, but I'm here to tell, what was it? Heart attack. And am I saying he had unforgiveness? I don't know nothing about his relationship, but I'm here to tell you that stuff like unforgiveness can cause that to happen. When you got stuff in your life, when you're younger and you don't have any other problems, why? You see people falling out and dying and they don't have any other health problems. Why? Because sometimes people harbor bitterness that causes effects in their health. Forgiveness, why do you need to forgive? Why? Because it has an effect. Even as you age, it gets worse. Overcoming the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. It'll cause you to lose of your health and vitality. What else happens when you don't forgive? It'll cause a loss of joy. Have y'all ever seen folks that just seem always angry? They don't ever seem happy. Just when they come in the room, everything else, just like, oh, Lord, why did they? I just wish they'd have stayed home. Anybody know people like that? Amen. Some of y'all got people like that in your family. You go to family room, Lord have mercy. I don't even know why I want to come around. Because they just suck the joy out the room. Anybody like that? Why? Because there's some folks who got people in the family, and you know when you see this a lot of times, it's sad to say this, funerals. When people, Brother Derek can say it, Brother Derek is a funeral director, when people go home to transition out of this life, some folks, they act up at the funeral. Why are they still holding bitterness? It'll take your joy away. It'll cause you not to experience. He said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. You won't even experience the abundance of life that God has for you because you're still harboring bitterness to somebody. And it might be, and look, the reason why you're angry is legitimate. That person did wrong. It could be a former spouse, an ex-wife, somebody did you wrong, but you got to forgive them for you. It'll take away your health, your vitality. It'll cause you to lose your joy. But not only that, it causes generational bondage and dysfunction. Unforgiveness, you transition that. Wow, you don't forgive. That means you bad-mouthing that person to your children, so they carrying that same old mess against somebody who did nothing to them. How many of us have seen that? Our children now got a beef with somebody that, nope, did nothing to them. Why? Because their mama didn't like them. And now they got unforgiveness on their mama's issues, and they're causing messed up in the... It's generational curse. Somebody got to break that dysfunction. When you harbor that unforgiveness, you know you carry that down to your children and your grandchildren and causes them to have issues that they didn't have to have. Why? Because of unforgiveness. What else happens when you don't forgive? The overcoming the oppressive effects, depression. It delves you down deeper into depression. What else? Harboring bitterness. Because there's some area in your life that you haven't forgiven. And you know, the deceptive thing about it is some of that unforgiveness can be so deep in you that you don't even recognize the bitterness. You don't even recognize what it is. I was recently talking to a friend of mine, and he was going through some struggles in his marriage, and he's having some issues in his marriage, and he and his wife are trying to reconcile, and they took a period of separation so they can both hear from God. I tell those people all the time, look, sometimes y'all got to go to separate corners so that you can, not just so to stay, just so you can hear what the Lord is trying to tell you. And in that time, he submitted to say, I want to go to a period of counseling. And in that period of counseling, the brother shared with me, the counselor was helping me so much because he began to pull up some anger and bitterness that I have against my father that was affecting my marriage that I didn't even recognize. Because it was things that were happening with my dad and rejection from my father and anger that I had against him that I was carrying it into all of my other relationships, and it was messing up the way I relate to my wife. It was deep in there. I'm here to tell you, those oppressive effects, sometimes you don't even know what it is. Somebody to help you pull it out. Forgiveness. Somebody may have done something to you when you were younger or as a parent, whatever. It happened so long ago that you began to adapt. How many of us have done this in our lives with our health? I've done it all the time. You got a little ache and pain. This is a little ache and pain, and you just began to deal with life with the pain. And you learn how to adapt around it and say, look, I just can't walk off that part of my foot. This part, look, my big toe, look, I just do different activities so I don't have to use that part of my body. But it's still hurting you, and it can be getting worse and worse and worse. And unless you deal with it, it can cause you greater problems later. You got to deal with it. There are oppressive effects of unforgiveness. In order to forgive, number one, you got to walk by faith and not your feelings. Number two, you must forgive because it'll help you to overcome the oppressive effects, the loss of health, the loss of your joy, the generational bondage and dysfunction, depression, and bitterness. But in order for you to forgive, the R is critical. You must remember how much I've needed God's forgiveness for myself. Remember how much forgiveness I've needed. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive how? As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. How has God forgiven us? For God made him who knew no sin to be made sin for me, that I might become the very righteousness of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He forgave me of every one of my sins. And the beautiful thing that even though he's forgiven me all of my sins, past, present, and future, when I put my faith in Christ, he said, listen, I will remove your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. But the beautiful thing about it is I'm still in this flesh, so sometimes I still mess up. But what he says now, because of what Christ has done on the cross, 1 John 1:9 applies to me. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. What am I saying? I need his forgiveness every day, multiple times a day. I need it back. How many of us have said, God, I'm not going to do that again, and then before the day ends, I've done it. Tomorrow, I mean, I done messed up. I said, listen, that's why, you know, the Lord's Prayer is so amazing. I used to be like, at the end of the day, you know, with our kids, I got in this habit as I was younger. You know, you end your day and you're praying, and one of the things I do before I ask God anything, that forgive me of my sins. So I'm saying, Lord, forgive me for yelling at the children. Forgive me for doing this, for doing that. And that's why the Lord's Prayer, It's so important, because he says, listen, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. I love that because I always said, Dwayne, you need to go to God and specifically ask for forgiveness. You know what he told me? Dwayne, you sin so much you don't even recognize when you disobeying me. Amen. Do you know you sinned at times and you didn't even know you did it? Because we're in this flood. You moving and we moving around. I may have said something to somebody. I didn't know. Now, what I do know, God specifically, but I just have to sometimes go with God. God, just come and forgive me because I know I messed up. And he said that his grace comes and said, I got you. If you confess it, listen, I've got you. If God has done that to me, I got to remember, what has this person done to me? And I need his forgiveness every single day. And it's so important because if I don't have his forgiveness, then I'm out of fellowship with him. So I need his forgiveness every single day. So if God can do that for me, I've got to do it for somebody else. Whenever you're so irritated or upset with that person, get into the habit of God reflecting on what God did for me. And but it cost him how he had to pay on Calvary. And he, look, Jesus didn't even want to go. He said, Lord, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If he didn't feel like it, you definitely ain't going to feel like it. But it ain't about your what? It's not about your feelings. You got to walk by faith. God is calling you to remember how much you have needed God's forgiveness on a daily, moment by moment basis. My prayer that as we're going through all of these in this acronym, that your mind is making a mental list of who do you need to forgive? Who is it that you've been holding that thing? Who is it that you need to forgive? Because this, again, I said it when we prayed at the start. Not more information, but transformation. Because as these word is going forward, that your mind is saying, God, you've forgiven me. That person, how many of y'all know this? I'm going to say this. Sometimes it feels good to be angry. Sometimes how many ever feel like, I just want to stay mad at that person? But because that's the enemy. He knows, because if you stay mad at him, how much is going to destroy you. God is calling you today to forgiveness. I want you to begin to think about, who is it God's calling me to forgive? You must remember how much you've needed God's forgiveness on a moment-by-moment basis, on a daily basis, when you told him you wouldn't do it again, and he still forgave you. Like that prodigal son, when you went way left, how many of us have been walked with God and then gone way to the left? When everybody else would have kicked you aside, and not only did he not kick you aside, like the prodigal son, the father, he said, I'm waiting for you to come back home. Arms open wide. That's the kind of God you serve. If he can forgive me like that. Because the ultimate goal, God has called us, he said, now he's given to us the message of reconciliation. Our ultimate goal is kingdom citizens, is that people be reconciled to God. And the best way for people to reconcile to God is if they can see, look, you can be reconciled to me even though you messed with me. Even though you did me wrong, I want you to come to know Christ more than I want you to be in a good relationship with me. I want you to know, come to know Christ. So if me forgiving you, if us restoring this relationship will allow you to see Christ more, I forgive you. Because that's the bigger goal. We got to remember how much God has forgiven me. The G in forgive is you must genuinely release them. Give it to God. Genuinely release them. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Forgiveness means I forgive you. I'm not going to keep bringing it up again. I've had people say, look, I forgave. I never forget. I talked to this guy. I said, yeah, I forgave him, but every time there was a conflict, that was on the top of the conversation. Like, but she did this to me. But I thought you said you forgave her. I did forgive her, but she did this. No. Forgiving means you can't keep bringing it back up again. What did God do to us? And I will remember their sins what? No more. He cast them from it. If I'm going to forgive you, look, I'm not going to continue to hold it against you. Forgiveness doesn't mean I continue to bring up. You genuinely got to release that person and say, look, we don't have to even talk about this again. Yes? Does that mean you forget it? No. You still remember it. We're human. But I'm not going to continue to hold it against you. I'm not going to continue to hold it against you. That's why we got to ask ourselves. Some of us today say we've forgiven people, but are you still bringing it back up? If something else happens, if there's another offense that happens, because people, we're in a human relationship, sometimes we'll get offended again. Do you go back to the original offense? Have you really let it go? And the only way for you to really let it go is to give it to God. That's what the verse says right here. Give all of your worries and cares to God. Why? He cares about you. What that person did to you, you got to say, Lord, I'm going to give that to you. You deal with that. It hurt me, yes. But God, I can't do anything about it. You deal with that. God, you take care of them. I'm going to release it. I'm not even going to bring it back up again. Why? Because I can't do nothing about it. God is what? In control. God is in control. And if I want to really believe that, if he's in control in my finances, he's also in control in my relationships in those areas where I've been hurt. And God, I give it to you. I give the offense to you. I give that person to you. And I'm truly going to cast all my care and my worry on you, because why? You care about me. And it's too much for me to handle. And as hard as it is to do, you know how much that'll free you up? Somebody this morning might have that testimony where you came to a time where you really gave something to God, and what freedom it gave you. God, I don't have to worry about controlling that. You got it. It's believing that he is who he says he is. Forgive. Why do we have to forgive? How do we forgive? We got to put faith in front of our feelings. Forgiveness will help us to overcome the oppressive effects of unforgiveness. We forgive when we remember how much we've needed God's forgiveness. When you forgive, it's necessary for you to give it to God. Genuinely release the other person. And if you don't forgive, you got to understand that it will impact your relationships with other people. Forgiveness impacts the relationships with other people. You might have a problem with, I might have a problem with my brother Cornell, but if I got an issue with Cornell, it affects how I relate to y'all. It affects intimacy with other people. It ruins your natural relationships, not just with the person you're mad at, but with everybody else. We talked about it earlier with some of the deleterious effects of unforgiveness. You got to understand, God made us to be in relationship. If I'm walking around with unforgiveness, the Bible said, look, if you got somebody that you got an ought with, you don't even need to pray. Or somebody, not only that you have an ought with, if you know somebody got a beef with you, you don't need, get up, don't be praying, y'all need to get that fixed. It affects relationships. It impacts how you relate to one another, and God has called us to relate to another in love, to do everything that we can to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And in the body of Christ, we gotta forgive. One place where their unforgiveness can run rampant is in the church. Amen. People got church hurt. A lot of people got church hurt. They've been in church, because sometimes church, it can be rough on people. But if we got unforgiveness in the body of Christ, how are we going to witness to anybody out there? How are we going to tell them about God's, Jesus' love and forgiveness if we can't forgive one another? God is calling us to love one another. And it requires, if my brother has offended me, I got to forgive him, because if I don't forgive him, then I can't relate to my brother here on the right way. It affects my relationships. The V in forgive is, V, it stands for, it is also vital to your intimacy with God. I alluded to it earlier. If you want to have a close relationship with God, if you got somebody you haven't forgiven, you fooling yourself if you think you're getting close with God. You're fooling yourself. He said in 1 John chapter 4, he said, if you cannot love your brother who you have seen, you just talking crazy. How you going to love me? He said, in 1 John 4:20, he said, your brother who you can see, if you haven't got that right, how in the world are you going to talk about you love me? It's vital to your intimacy with God. You cannot get into the presence of God like you should if you have got unforgiveness. In Psalm 66, verse 18, if I cherish sin in my heart, what? The Lord would not have listened. God's not listening to my prayers if I got somebody who I haven't forgiven. I'm going to let that sink in. You praying and asking God for direction? wisdom on which way I should take. He's saying, how you are asking me for this, the basic thing I ask you to do is forgive your brother, your sister, and you haven't done that. Forget about it. You wonder why you don't have clarity right now? Wonder why God seemed like, God, I can't hear from you. Because you and your wife still at odds. You haven't forgiven her yet. It's because you and your mom, you got issues with your family that you haven't dealt with. God said, look, if you hold on to that, he said, he's not hearing my prayers. That's big, y'all. Because I need his direction for everything. I said he's in control. He orders my steps. And he wants to lead and guide me. But if I'm holding on to unforgiveness, I'm short-circuiting that guidance. It affects my intimacy with God. It's vital. My thing is this. I told you my favorite scripture, one of them, Psalm 27. The one thing I desire of the Lord, the one thing I seek is to dwell in his house and inquire in his temple and behold his beauty. He said when you got unforgiveness, guess what? You can't come in like that. You got to get that right. Today, if you want direction from God, if you want to walk in intimacy with God, it's important that you let some stuff go. It's vital that you forgive that person who has offended you. And do you have to wait for them to say, I'm sorry? Nope. You don't have to wait for them to see it. There's some of us, there's this mindset, yes, I'll forgive you when you apologize. Well, you might be waiting to your grave. What happens if that person never sees what they did wrong? What you've done, you're holding yourself hostage depending on what they do. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. He said, I want to set you free right now because you're not dependent upon them. Look, you forgive them and I will take care of them. It's vital. Because look, what I want, I need him every day. I need to hear from him every day. I don't want anything to block the voice of God in my life. It's vital to intimacy with God. And then final letter in forgive is E. When we forgive, what do? We're emulating the Master's love and forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He said, look, be an example. Be an imitator of Christ. Follow his example. When we forgive, why is it important to forgive? Because we emulate Christ. Why is that so important? Because God, look, Jesus has gone back. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. But he has left us here to be his hands and feet. And if people are ever going to see Christ, I've got to emulate him in my walk on how I relate to other people. We say our mission, Pastor Matt got it a few weeks ago. What if? He said, what if we really were believe the mission? What if we really believe what God called us to do? And we said, we exist to what? Exalt God's presence and to do what? Enlarge his kingdom. How do we enlarge his kingdom? We emulate the Master. We model Christ. It's not about me just speaking Christ. It's about me modeling Christ. And the best way I can model Christ is to extend forgiveness to somebody who has offended me, because that's exactly what Jesus did for me. He's calling us to emulate him. Before we close, I saw this several years ago, and I think I showed this here a while back, but it's an example of the power of forgiveness. The power of forgiveness. And this kind of forgiveness only comes when you understand what Christ has done for you. And I want to show this clip really quick. This woman who experienced a horrible tragedy, but she modeled and emulated the Master's love and forgiveness in such a powerful way that it drew somebody else.
We end tonight with one of the most potent powers on earth. It can change lives in an instant. Everyone has it. It's the power to forgive. Watch it now in action in Steve Hartman's Assignment America.
Thank you, Lord.
In a small apartment building in North Minneapolis, a 59-year-old teacher's aide sings praise to God for no seemingly apparent reason. Indeed, if anyone was to have issues with the Lord, it would be Mary Johnson.
For all you've done for me. He never had a chance.
In February 1993, Mary's son, Loramian Bird, was shot to death during an argument at a party. He was 20, and Mary's only child.
My son was gone.
The killer was a 16-year-old kid named O'Shea Israel.
I wanted justice. He was an animal. He deserved to be caged.
And he was. Tried as an adult and sentenced to 25 and a half years, O'Shea served 17 before being recently released. He now lives back in the old neighborhood, close to Mary. This close.
He lives next door.
Next door.
How a convicted murderer ended up living a door jam away from his victim's mother is a story not of horrible misfortune, as you might expect, but of remarkable mercy.
A few years ago, Mary asked if she could meet O'Shea here at Minnesota's Stillwater State Prison. As a devout Christian, she felt compelled to see if there was some way, if somehow, she could forgive her son's killer.
What'd she say to you?
I believe the first thing she said was, look, you don't know me, I don't know you, let's just start with right now. And I was befuddled myself.
O'Shea says they met regularly after that. When he got out, she introduced him to her landlord, who, with Mary's blessing, invited O'Shea to move into the building. Today, they don't just live close, they are close. Clearly, Mary was able to forgive.
Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out. It's not about that other person. Me forgiving him does not diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is for me. It's for me.
For O'Shea, it hasn't been that easy.
I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm learning how to forgive myself, and I'm still growing towards, you know, trying to forgive myself and what it is I've done.
To that end, O'Shea is now busy proving himself to himself. He works at a recycling plant by day and goes to college by night. He says he's determined to pay back Mary's clemency by contributing to society. In fact, he's already working on it, singing the praises of God and forgiveness at prisons, churches, to large audiences everywhere.
Forgiveness is a powerful thing.
Yes, I'm grateful.
Which explains why Mary can sing her praise of thanks to her audience of one. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Minneapolis.
For all you've done for me.
Amen. That's powerful. The power of forgiveness. And who was she singing to? An audience of one. That's the only way you can do it. It's not about your feelings. It's not about what somebody else has done. It's putting your faith in the facts of what God's word says and leaving them up to God, understanding that he's in control. This morning, can we all stand today? And the power of that forgiveness, you know what, you saw what it did? It drew somebody else to the Savior who now is proclaiming God's love and forgiveness. She modeled it. God is calling us to do the same thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First person I want to speak to is if you're here or at home, to understand, I want you to understand that kind of forgiveness. That the God of the universe loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die so that you can be forgiven of every one of your sins. Every offense against God. Sin is simply anything that I act, say, or do that is against God. And he said, I love you so much that I want to forgive you of your sins so you can have a relationship with me. But the only way for you to be able to experience that relationship is A, to acknowledge that you have sinned against God. B, believe that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. Believe that he was buried and that he rose again to make you right with him. See, choose Christ as Savior and Lord of your life. If you do that, then you can have all of your sins forgiven. If you've never come to accept Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, and you'd like to have the certainty of knowing that all of your sins are forgiven, past, present, future, if you'd like to accept Christ as Savior today, what I'd like you to do is just raise your hand right where you are. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ as Savior and Lord. I want to have my sins forgiven. If you want to accept Him today, won't you raise your hand right where you are? Is there one? Is there one to say, listen, I want that relationship with God. I want to know that all of my sins are forgiven. Won't you raise your hand right where you are? What I'm going to do also for those of you who are at home, I'm going to pray this simple prayer. It's a prayer of invitation for those of you. If you're here in the building, if you're at home, and you say, look, I want to invite Christ as Savior and Lord of my life, I want to pray a prayer of invitation for you to do just that. All you got to do is repeat this after me silently right where you are. Here at home, you can repeat this. Just say, dear God, thank you for loving me like I am. I admit I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me. I believe he was buried and that he rose again. Today I choose to invite Christ as Savior and Lord of my life, to forgive me of every one of my sins, to make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye remain closed. If you prayed that prayer here or at home, we want you to let somebody know about it. If you're at home, you can let us know about it by just texting the word next to 301-804-2520. Text the word next to that number, 301-804-2520. Someone will contact you and show you how to grow in your relationship with Christ. If you're here and you prayed that prayer, you may be nervous about raising your hand. This is what I want you to do. Let me know about it after service. I will stay around right in my seat right up front for a few moments. You may say, Pastor, I didn't raise my hand, but I did pray that prayer. Could you show me what I need to do next? And I'll stay here and we'll get you connected with someone who can show you your next steps. Finally, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I got convicted. I got some unforgiveness in my heart. I need prayer to let it go. God convicted me that I need to let him have it and stop holding on to this unforgiveness. God convicted you this morning. Say, God, Pastor, God, I want to let go of the unforgiveness and give it to you. If that's you, won't you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. I see that hand. I see those hands. Hallelujah. I see those hands. Says some stuff that has been done to me that I've been holding on to. It keeps coming back up, and I want to say, God, I'm going to give it to you. Thank you, Lord. I see those hands. Let me pray for you. Dear God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for mercy and grace. And I come along with my brothers and sisters, God, who said, listen, I have been offended. There's some unforgiveness, some bitterness that I've been harboring that is here, Lord God. It's affecting my relationships, and I don't want it to affect my relationship with you any longer. We come to give it to you. We come to walk by faith. Help us to not live according to our feelings, but to walk by faith, God. To reflect and remember how much you have forgiven us. To emulate your love and forgiveness to the world. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, when, Lord God, that unforgiveness begins to raise, when it becomes difficult for us to, Lord God, let it go, that we will stand on the truth of your word and not how we feel. And surround them, God, with people who encourage them. God, if we need get some help to help pull out some other things in us, Lord, some unforgiveness that we're harboring, Lord, that may be deep-seated, Lord, help us to take the steps necessary to get all the help we need, Lord, to get set free. Because you, Lord, you, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Help us not to walk in the bondage of unforgiveness. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may have your seat.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that. Praise God. A word on forgiveness. A word on learning to forgive. That's what we heard today, and I pray we take that into the world with us. Now is our time of giving. Now is our time to return to God what he has given to us. Lord God, we come to you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the message that we have heard today. Lord, we pray as we take this time to give back what you've given to us, Father. I pray, Lord, that it would go into your kingdom and do the work that you set it to do, Father. Lord, we praise you for this. We thank you for providing for us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to give back. We pray over this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.